Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's podcast. Enjoy, and God bless.
I'll ask the ushers to make sure that each one of you have one of these. It is a personal petition to God. So I want our ushers to pass these out if they will. And if you need a pen, please ask them to give you a pen as well. Because what I'm going to be sharing with you today is how we are to take physical acts of faith as we battle the spirits of darkness. And at the conclusion of our service, I'm going to have you bring your petition, and we're going to pray over them. As the message is being shared today, I want you to listen to the Lord. And as God prompts you to petition Him for something, I want you to write that down. And if you need more room than what's on the front, turn it over, right on the back. Amen. We're going to make petitions of the Lord today. So be open to what the Lord would say to you, what the Spirit of God would say to you as I share the word this morning. I want to welcome our online viewers today. Restoration Church, let's welcome our online viewers. Thank you for joining us. I also want to welcome our first-time guests. Thank you for being with us today. Pray that the Lord has blessed you. And you, yes. And you will be blessed as we continue in the presence of the Lord this morning. Today we're going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 19. So if you will turn there, you can follow on the wall behind me. The scripture will be up there as well. 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings 19. And if you were not here last Sunday, I really encourage you to go online or get a copy of the message that I shared entitled See, Believe, Do. It was part one of this message on spiritual warfare. And the emphasis was on seeing the invisible, believing the unimaginable, and doing the impossible. So please go online and view that. Go online and listen to it, or request a CD that you may know what the Lord is saying. Amen. 2 Kings 19, verse 10, and I'm going to be reading from the NLT this morning. 2 Kings 19, verse 10. This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you with promises that Jerusalem would not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well what the kings of Assyria have done wherever they have gone. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? Have the gods of other nations rescued them, such nations as Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Azar? My predecessor destroyed them all. What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? What happened to the kings of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? After Hezekiah received the letter from the messenger and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations. And they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians could destroy them, for they were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Leslie. Today, as we continue the series, Powerful Church Arising, which is a study on spiritual warfare, I'm going to speak a message to you entitled, Get Offensive. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to get offensive. It's time to get offensive. Spiritual warfare is the phenomenon whereby we, the physical body of Christ, engage in war against the unseen spiritual forces of evil. An evil force that is led by the dictates of Satan, who is the arch rival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this message today, I want to do two things for you. One, I want to emphasize the importance of getting offensive. And by getting offensive, I'm talking about taking the fight to the enemy. Taking the fight to the enemy. And the second thing I want to do is look at some physical actions we can take in spiritual warfare as we get offensive. Now, we know, and I shared this last week, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We also know that our battle is not a natural battle. It is not a battle that we fight in the natural or we fight against natural man. There are natural acts that we do, but we are not fighting against natural man. However, there are some natural things that we can do and we should do, and I would even go as far as to say we must do to show our faith in God that will affect what happens in the spirit realm. There are things you can do in the natural, physical acts that you can take in the natural that will affect what is happening in the realm of the unseen. As members of the body of Christ, we engage in spiritual warfare, whether we know it or not, whether we want to or not. As a member of the body of Christ, you are engaged in spiritual warfare, whether you know that or not, or whether you want to or not. There are unseen forces of evil who make sure of that. And they make sure of that by attacking us in various ways. These forces stand in opposition to the life that we can have in God. We got to get that. These forces, these spirits of darkness, these forces of evil, they're standing in opposition to the life that you can have in God. A life that was purchased for you by the sacrifices that Jesus made. And this is a life, please hear me, that we must fight for. This is a life that we must get offensive for. The question to answer should not be, do I have to fight? But the question to answer is, how do I engage in this battle? How do I fight? Give you point number one on getting offensive. Point number one is this. Get offensive and take the fight to the enemy. Get offensive and take the fight to the enemy. Those who chooses to do so will enjoy much more success than those who simply sit by doing nothing. It's like the four leopard men who we read about in 2 Kings who decided to go into the enemy's camp instead of sitting around waiting to die. Sometimes I think some of God's people are just sitting around as if they're just waiting to die, living a defeated life when you don't have to live that way at all, because Jesus has given you great victory. Great victory. If you remember the story, Samaria was under siege by Ben-Hadad of Aram. And this siege caused a great famine and very severe conditions existed throughout the city. As these lepers sat in the entrance of the city gates, they said to one another, "Why should we sit here waiting to die? We will starve if we stay in this place. But there's a famine in the city, and we will starve if we go inside the city. So we might as well go into the enemy's camp where there is food." So they got up and went into the enemy's camp. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots, the galloping of horses, and the sounds of a great army approaching. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When we get up, when you get up and move out in faith, God will move on your behalf. But you got to get up and do something. You got to get offensive. Some of you need to decide that you're no longer satisfied with your current condition. Some of you need to decide that you're no longer satisfied with your current conditions. That you understand there's more to life than what you're experiencing right now. And that you're willing to fight for that life. Are you willing to fight for the life that Jesus died for you to have? Some of you need to realize that fighting for change is far better than just accepting status quo. In this war, as in any war, the person who refuses to fight but sit idly by can be too easily picked off by the enemy. In this war, as in any war, the person who refuses to fight but sits idly by can be too easily picked off by the enemy. Whereas the person who engages in fight has a much greater chance of success and survival. That brings us to point number two. Get offensive, not offended. Get offensive, not offended. Instead of Hezekiah getting offended because of the circumstances he faced, what did he do? He turned to God in prayer for his deliverance for the king of Assyria. Sometimes, as we're facing the difficulties in life, we get offended. And we begin to blame our spouse, blame our children, blame our boss at work, blame our coworkers, even blame God. Even blame God. If you're easily offended, please hear me. You got to understand how the spirit of offense sucks the life of God out of you. If you're easily offended, you will have a difficult time in spiritual warfare. The spirit of offense will only serve to make you feel like a victim, robbing you of the victor's mentality that we must have in this war. I've told you before, we fight from victory, not for victory. There's got to be your mentality. I am fighting from the place of having already won. I'm not fighting to win because Jesus has already defeated my enemy. If you do not know that Jesus has already defeated Satan, if you do not know that God is fighting for you, it will be easier to think that God has abandoned you, which can lead to you taking on a spirit of offense. People who do not understand the warfare we're in are easily offended by other people. And let me say it another way. People who do not understand how important it is to not take on a spirit of offense becomes easy victims in spiritual warfare. Because your heart and your attitude is not aligned with the Spirit of God. Your heart and your attitude is not aligned with the Word of God. There's nothing about taking on a spirit of offense that serves you well in spiritual warfare. Absolutely nothing. People who do not understand the significance of standing right and living right as we engage in spiritual warfare are easily offended by other people. They are easily offended by the circumstances they have to face in life. And many allow those circumstances to cause them to become offended at God. Perhaps they feel like God didn't help them as they should have. Maybe they think God didn't show up or didn't show up on time. Maybe they feel like God is allowing them to deal with more than they can handle. There are many reasons why people become offended when things get difficult, but that only serves to their defeat. A spirit of offense will only serve to your defeat. You must use everything within your power to not get offended when facing the challenges of life, because a spirit of offense, it blocks the blessings of God. It blocks the blessings of God. Jesus sent this message to John the Baptist in Matthew 11:6. He said, tell John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I believe John started to get a little offended at God when he found himself in prison. Now, please listen to me. It can be difficult at times to accept the realities of life and not feel like God has abandoned you. When we feel that way, it's easy for offense to set in. So do not become offended at God, but become offensive towards God's enemies. And by offensive, I'm talking about taking the fight to the enemy through physical acts of faith. And that is what we see that Hezekiah did in today's text. when King Sennacherib wrote a letter to King Hezekiah telling him that God could not stand against him, upon receiving that letter, Hezekiah took it and spread it out before the Lord. He went into the temple of God, and he took the letter that the enemy had written, and he spread it out before the Lord, and he sought the Lord in prayer. This is an example of a physical act done to recognize and establish spiritual authority in the realm of the invisible. This physical act was a prophetic expression of faith that impacted the invisible realm. Hezekiah's action, taken in the visible realm, was done to affect what would happen in the realm of the invisible as he petitioned God to fight for him. Hezekiah's physical act of trust, it establishes a foundation of faith upon which he prayed. That brings us to point number three. Physical acts of faith affects the invisible realm. Your physical acts of faith, the things that you do in the natural that are acts of faith, they will affect what you do not see. Though we cannot see the spiritual forces we fight against, there are things we can do in the physical realm that will impact what happens in the dimension of the unseen. Stepping out in faith, performing acts that clearly sends a message, I know God is on my side and he is my defender, that is getting offensive. And as we move out and do what Jesus instructs us to do, we can be assured of victory. So Hezekiah took the letter and he spread it out and he prayed. Let's look at God's response to Hezekiah's physical act of faith. 2 Kings 19, verse 20. Listen to this. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer about King Sennacherib of Assyria, and the Lord has spoken this word against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. This is the word of the Lord spoken to Hezekiah's enemy. The daughter of Jerusalem shakes her head in derision as you flee. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing? You got to get this. Listen to me. When the spirits of darkness come against you, they're coming against your God. They're coming against your God. Listen to God's response. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing? Against whom did you raise your voice? At whom did you look with such haughty eyes? It was the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers, you have defied the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots, I have conquered the highest mountains, yes, the remotest peaks of Lebanon. I have cut down his tallest cedars and his finest cypress trees. I have reached his farthest corners and explored his deepest forests. I have dug wells in many foreign lands and refreshed myself with their water. With the sole of my foot, I stopped up all the rivers of Egypt. But have you not heard? I decided this long ago. Long ago, I planned it. And now I am making it happen. I planned for you to crush fortified cities into heaps of rubble. That is why their people have so little power and are so frightened and confused. They are as weak as grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on a housetop, scorched before it can grow lush and tall. But I know you well. God says, I know you well. I know where you stay. I know when you come and go. I know the way you raged against me. And because of your raging against me and your arrogance, which I have heard for myself, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. I will make you return by the same road on which you came. You've got to know that nothing is lost on God or nothing is unknown by him. He sees and hears the mockery of the enemy. God sees that. He's well aware of Satan's arrogance and of Satan's aggression against you. Listen, God knows where those spirits of darkness reside. And he knows how they plan to attack you. But God said, I will put my hook in their nose and my bit in their mouth. I will make them return by the same road in which they came. Your physical acts of faith let God know that you have put your faith in him, your trust in him, and in him alone. Amen. And listen to what the Lord did. 2 Kings 19:35 says, that night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. A sidebar, just a little something for you to hold on to. Remember, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. In the Old Testament, most scholars believe that when you see the term the angel of the Lord, it's the pre-incarnate Christ himself. We get a picture of God's great power, of the Lord Jesus Christ's great power, and what he did in the natural. Listen, he's already done in the spirit realm. He's already defeated those spirits of forces that come against us. So when the Assyrian army woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere, everywhere. Why? Because God moved. God know where your enemies live. You got to know that he know what they're plotting against you. And I'm not talking about your physical enemies. Okay? Want to make that clear. We're fighting a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, so if you're looking at a man saying, God know where you live, you're missing it. Okay? I'm talking about those unseen forces of darkness that you can't see. God sees them. He knows exactly where they are, and he knows exactly what they're planning against you. And God knows how to deal with them. I want to give you just a few more examples of physical things done in the Bible that affected the invisible realm as God's people engaged in battle, and it brought about a natural victory. One of my favorites, 2 Chronicles 20, 18 through 24. It says, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophet, and you will succeed. And after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, thinking they're about to engage in warfare, engage in battle, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. My last point for today, point number four. Physical acts of faith confuses the enemy. Physical acts of faith. When Satan is throwing his best at you, when you're under more attack than you think you can bear, if you will stand in faith and begin to do something in the natural to let the enemy know, I'm standing in faith, I'm trusting in God, it confuses him. He don't understand that. That's why the Bible says that we are to teach principalities and powers the wisdom of God. When you should be crying and complaining and moaning and groaning, but instead you're praising God, you're lifting hands to the Lord, you're worshiping God, you're singing, you're shouting, you're dancing, you're speaking God's word, the enemy don't know what to do with that. He can't touch that. It confuses him. But listen, when you walk around feeling defeated, I just don't know if I can make another day. I think there's more than I can bear. You know what he says? I got him now. I got you right where I want it. And he turns up the heat. Like a baked chicken. But when all of hell is coming against you and you stand in faith and you speak the word of God and you refuse to be moved no matter what, it confuses the enemy. He don't understand that. He don't understand that. It blows his mind. But we're teaching principalities and powers, even angels, the wisdom of God. You see, even angels, I think, at times don't understand that. Because you have a will. You have a choice. And when you choose to stand in faith, no matter what is coming against you, you're teaching the principalities and powers, the wisdom of God. Worshiping and praising God amidst danger or hard times causes confusion in the enemy's camp. Hezekiah prayed. Jehoshaphat worshiped. Some other physical acts of faith that we can take, some physical acts we can take to express our faith in the Lord, or we can lift our hands to God. No matter what's going on, we can lift our hands as a sign of surrender. God, I trust you. I'm submitted to you, God. I serve you, Lord God. We can use vocal praise and shouting. We can dance before the Lord. We can speak God's word over our circumstances. That's how we get offensive. I want to look at a New Testament example of getting offensive. As I get ready to close, and we're going to pray in just a moment. We're going to pray a little differently this morning. We're going to pray for you. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to show you how Jesus told you to get offensive, okay? Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 through 18. And then he, Jesus, told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And listen, He didn't say preach the good news when times are good. You preach the good news at all times. He said anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. This is getting offensive. You want to get, listen, I'm going to show you how to get offensive with the enemy. He said, cast out demons in my name. That's getting offensive. He said, speak in new languages or speak in new tongues in my name. He said they would be able to handle snakes with safety. And I'm not, listen, we don't handle snakes around here. Okay? There's some spiritual snakes that we handle by faith. But if you pull out a viper, you've just lost me. Okay? One thing I hate is a snake. Okay? Jesus said they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick. Listen, they will pray for the sick and the sick will be healed. That's getting offensive. Jesus in these verses gives us perhaps the best instruction when it comes to getting offensive in spiritual warfare. He encourages us to go out and do what he did, and that is take the fight to the enemy. Several years ago, I heard a story of a man who got saved. This man had grown up void of Christian understanding. He knew nothing about Christianity. He knew nothing about God. But one day he got saved. And he started attending this church. And he's hearing the word of God. And he's growing in the things of the Lord. And he's excited. He's falling in love with Jesus. And one day he went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I've really enjoyed being here. And I'm growing and I'm learning. But Pastor, when do we get to do the stuff? Pastor said, what do you mean? We do the stuff. No, I'm talking about the stuff. What stuff? The stuff that Jesus said we would do. The casting out demons, the praying for the sick, the raising the dead. When do we get to do the stuff? It's time for us, church, to start doing the stuff. Okay? We got to get offensive with the enemy. We cannot just sit around anymore. We've got to get aggressive and get offensive. It's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to move out and start doing what Jesus did. We can sit around and moan and groan and complain about what's happening, or we can get up and do something about it. The darkness of this world is not going to dissipate by itself. It must be dispelled or displaced by the light of the church. But for that to happen, we have to get offensive. We have to get up and move out in faith. Acts 10:38 says, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Do you see what Jesus did? He took the fight to the devil. He went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus got offensive. We have to perform physical acts of faith against the spirit we fight against in the unseen world. Paul instructs us to put on the whole armor of God that we will be able to stand against or resist the enemy. But he was not saying, put on God's armor and stand around doing nothing. Got the armor on. I'm protected now. No, you put on the armor and you fight. You put on the armor, you get offensive. You clothe yourself in God's armor of protection and then move out in faith. Go on the offense against the powers of darkness. Now, there are two physical acts of faith that I want you to take today in this spiritual battle. The first involves this. Your personal petition to God. I want you to put in writing. Put in writing what you need God to do for you. You can even put in writing what you feel like the enemy is doing against you as a petition for God to move on your behalf. Maybe that is healing in your body. Maybe it involves a family member, job situation. For some of you, it may be a breakthrough in ministry. Maybe it's your child. But I want you to put in writing this morning. And in just a moment, I'm going to have you come up and place it in these baskets. And me and the pastoral staff and any elders that we have here, we're going to pray over your petitions this morning. God's going to move mightily on your behalf. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That is what we're going to do. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Petitions are written requests made to God. So I want each of you to write out what you need God to do for you, that you're willing to stand in faith for. This is your physical act of faith that you're going to take this morning, just like Hezekiah did. And we're going to lay them on the altar, and we're going to present them to the Lord. And we're going to believe that God's going to move on your behalf. So write them down. Write them down. And the second thing we're going to do is ask to accept what you're going to do. Second thing you're going to do. As you leave out this morning, we have vials of anointing oil. If you don't have any, take one. One per family, okay? If you don't have any anointing oil, take one with you. If you have anointing oil, leave it for someone else. And you're going to find out at our usher's table instructions on how to anoint and pray through your home. I like to have you do this at least once a year. We'll go through this exercise because it's very important that you clean your home out. Very important that you pray and take authority over whatever spirits of darkness may have invaded your home. And listen, Satan is a trespasser. He will trespass upon you and enter into your home any way he can, through your television, through people who come into your home, through your computer. If you're involved in anything that is evil or lewd or any type of witchcraft or pornography, anything like that, you're opening the door for Satan to come in and affect your home and afflict your family. So you need to clean your house out, amen? So as you leave out, be sure to get a vial of oil, one per family, if you don't have any, and pick up these instructions, very step-by-step instructions of what to do. I like to go through my house 3 or 4 times a year and just pray through my home. Just rededicate everything to the Lord all over again and drive out whatever evil presence may be there. See, that's a physical act of faith that we're taking that impacts what's happening in the invisible realm. Amen?
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched and impacted your life through our church, we would love to hear your story. So please email us your testimonies at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week. God bless.